are back, Underground Espionage, episode 63, Terra. How's it going? How are you doing? The people want to know.
I'm doing fine, Mike. Just fine.
Just fine.
Just fine.
Just.
I bent my knee 70 degrees. It's really fun. And then, like, sometimes you, like, bend it and then like 10 minutes later it's like stiff again. It's just like I'm at the torture phase. It's all fine.
Yeah, I just, well, you know
it just looks like I have
people.
A prosthetic. Like I walk now, I don't have to be in a wheelchair. I'm not using crutches. I just kind of limp along slowly. But it's actually to the point where we can do fun things. So, you know, I can limp along slowly to like a nice little bar or restaurant, whatever, and we can
have some fun finally. And you know, No one's checking in with me. Mm-hmm. That's actually not true. I will say that. That's not true. That was a lie.
People, you're gonna do a little kayfabe?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, you know, I I'm gonna miss you being so dependent on me and under my control that I'm thinking about taking a bat to your other knee.
Yeah.
What do the listeners think about that?
I think that's unnecessary. I still can't drive.
Oh, right.
I still, you know, can't get into a car by myself. Like, I think that's a little premature, sir.
Okay.
Before you start, like, going full, like, whatever.
Munchausen by proxy.
Well, I was thinking, like, misery.
Yes,
like, hobbling practices
I might go full misery on you. Yeah.
No, it's not.
But honestly, though, everyone has been reaching out to both of us. It's been a journey of a summer.
No, it's been great getting into contact with so many people and catching back up. And then before when I said that, like, finally we can have some fun, I was acting like we haven't had any fun since this whole thing began. But it's, you know, it's like a... It's just a different type of fun. It's like the other fun was like, you know, living in an
mobile
absurd...
Fun.
Yeah, well, dude, just like you're living in an absurdist play and then you laugh and you have fun and then you're in pain and you're just trying to like survive and cope. This is more of like a mobile fun that has less pain in it.
Yeah. I mean, look, anyone who's been listening all summer knows that we will always make the best of these situations. We'll always do stuff like record, like do the podcast, like watch a ton of great movies, get into great music zones. I mean, we haven't even talked about like all the we've gone through so many music zones as far as like
you get into a band,
like, let's listen to every single Cure record.
Yeah, exactly.
And get re-blown away by old ones, discover those like couple later ones that you never heard or we never heard. So there's been tons
of
that.
I'm in a Night Sins zone this week.
We've been in a big Elvis zone.
Oh, yeah. We got
I think we mentioned
Elvis
that last week because of
that
the
was great.
Ray Dennis Steckler.
Yes. Yes.
Got us into a rockabilly and then Elvis zone. Yeah. So that's been a really good zone. So that's been cool. And this is coming out, after we record this. But I assume anyone in LA listening realizes that we aren't doing Surf and Dead tonight. Even though we had initially promoted it on Friday, we got word that they're closed tonight. The Mermaid were closed tonight. So
yeah, they need to suddenly
If you're listening to this, like the second we put this up, you will have time to realize that it's closed. But we've told most people that. Yeah. But we are, that's...
Come party at our house tonight. Hit us up.
absolutely not. That will not be happening. But we were actually genuinely bummed out because we haven't been able to do it all summer. We had gotten almost the entire set ready to rock, ready to go, and so excited to like hit Bag of the Mermaid, see everybody, DJ, because it is just our favorite night of the month.
Yeah.
And we love
Grand
the Mermaid. We love everyone at the Mermaid. But so September will be the next one we do.
But we did go to a bar like birthday party, and I was very excited to like, you know, we're just like reconnecting with so many people we hadn't seen in a while, and I was really excited to talk shit about Turtles to somebody, and she was so happy and loving Turtles. She was like, I was in Hawaii and I swam with Turtles, and she had nothing but love and joy when Turtles were mentioned. So I do
you
feel...
Had to, you're in your still your crazy 360 vortex
so
about
I
Turtles.
So I feel like that was the universe smacking me back down. I mean, like, shut your fucking mouth about Turtles. Like, chill out about Turtles. You know, maybe you can just, like, if you see Turtle content where they're being violent or banging or being assholes. Like, maybe skip that part because people get real joy out of turtles.
Look, they enjoyed the discussion about the like turtles banging and
yeah, they didn't
orgies.
Know how horny turtles were yeah. and how much turtles like to hump.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just maybe hearing that, they were like, and why would that detract from your love? But sea turtles are, I think, a little different than like... land
yeah
like tortoises and shit, like that's a whole different beast.
Look, I enjoy your
they
turtle
have an elegance about them. I like it when they eat jellyfish and they're like nom, nom.
Look, it's okay. it's been a journey of many journeys this summer. Turtle journey has been a big one
yeah
of this summer.
Truly
very excited today to discuss our main feature, Flesh Eaters from Outer Space, aka A Taste for Flesh and Blood, one of the what's well, the newest Saturn's Core disc that is currently shipping. Love is a Stranger and Love is a Stranger Again is the new one up for pre-order that'll be shipping in a few weeks. Obviously, pick that up. But Flesh Eaters from Outer Space is the one that is hot off the presses right now. So we thought this would be a great one to do as it comes out. We had so much fun watching it. Excited to talk about it. But we have been watching a lot of great stuff aside from this fantastic movie and some great summer watches. Have to really shout out a movie that blew us away that we had never seen, a Jess Franco we had never seen, Thong Girls.
Oh my God.
Las Chicas de Stengas.
Las Chicas de Stengas.
Wow.
Thong Girls was amazing.
Really?
It's one of those standout Jess Francos where, you know, sometimes you enter these like strange, absurdist realms with just these like individual characters and maybe nothing's happening other than these people just presenting the way that they behave.
Yeah.
And this kind of was one of those outliers like Bahia Blanca
well, yes.
that had overarching commentary on humanity and what it is to be a person, you know?
Well, and even the name and the cover makes it seem like it's going to be a little different than
it's gonna
it
be
is.
Like beach volleyball.
It is fun and yeah. there is funny parts to it.
Yeah.
But it is actually like it's almost a heartwarming one
yeah,
in a
I was
weird
gonna say,
way.
It's not like it's more like a it's not like a bleak commentary like Bahia Blanca.
Right.
This is more like a heartwarming people trying to find happiness in this mad world and they kind
of
do.
Yeah, and it's the end of the summer in what's the name of that town?
Oh my God. Damnation. We just talked about it last
night.
We
literally just talked about it.
Ah, Bementon.
I'm going to go grab it.
Okay,
I'm
yeah, grab it. Okay. What am I going to do while you're going to grab it? Well, okay, yeah. Well, there's not many. There's not a far, far place
okay,
in
back.
This place.
It is the town of... I don't even think it says it on the back. God
well, I could probably
it.
Figure it. It's okay. It's just like a little seaside town. And by outside of Murcia.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Oh, Benidorm.
Benidorm.
And so, and we were talking with our another resident Jess Franco fanatic, actually the guy that got us into Jess Franco, was like, you know, Thong Girls is sort of like the end of summer when things are still kind of fun, and then Bahia Blanca is like when it's all over and everyone's left. And so then we did watch...
And then they've aged 20 years.
So then we did watch Bahia Blanca... Yeah. We followed it up with Bahia Blanca, which is one of our, if not our favorite, Jess Franco movie. And so those are great, great end of summer movies to yeah. watch in a way. But Thong Girls was a real standout. And again, we're such fanatics for 80s Jess Franco. So many people really love the, you know, 70s and especially stuff like Vampires Lesbos and She Killed in Ecstasy. And obviously we do
They're
too.
They're fantastic. Love them.
Love some of the more German productions from the 70s. We love all. We love all. But the 80s stuff is really what we've always honed in on. And Thong Girls is just a perfect, perfect addition. And again, there's so many that still like haven't either come out or are out of print. So hopefully Severin's going to keep doing the Jess Franco stuff. We just got to, again... It's why you got to keep supporting yeah. these labels, because the more you support them, the more they can do.
Yeah.
And even though, oh, in this world, you can just, everything's out there. It's actually not. And it goes away and you can't actually get it.
These
you can't
could
support
definitely
it.
Be lost to time.
So you got to support
Lena's
the labels.
Lena's character in this is so fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's, you know, kind of like a commercial, like tacky star who.
She's so funny.
And she is just, you know. shallow and hilarious. Like, she gives such an amazing performance, and she's with her lady manager, and then they get to like end up together. It's very cute. Like, the whole thing is cute. We have roller skating and bikinis and skateboards and tacky architecture and weird family situations and Lena just being absolutely over the top. You know, we have a just amazing campy performances at nightclubs. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, I will caution you, there are two little girls in thongs, which is very unnerving.
Yeah.
Just kinda...
But it is Antonio Mines' kids. I feel like no one brings that up because I think no one wants to
I had to scream and wait for them to go off screen. I'm like, are they gone yet? Are they gone yet? It's really unnerving.
We will move on from that.
They're like, oh,
we'll move on. We'll move on.
you gotta move on sometimes.
You do. But absolute standout in our watching and having just watched so much great stuff this summer and this week is Thong Girls, Jess Franco. Absolute standout. Tara, I think you had a Tara news story that you were getting ready to talk about. Something we've discussed a little bit.
Wait, which news story? Because I...
Wasn't it something about falling off a cliff? Or did we do... No, didn't you... Did we already do that?
There was a follow-up to the...
Oh, the follow... Because we did talk about it.
Oh, you're talking about... There was an avalanche where...
I don't think so.
And then
I guess we talked about that.
There was an avalanche that killed a very famous climber. Then there was the story of the guy who killed his wife because he was having an affair.
We did talk about that.
There was some follow up to that. But what I wanted, what I was excited about.
Sorry, Tara. Sorry.
It's from this really cool report called Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, and you know sometimes you get fun things and sometimes you get boring things. But this is a weird thing that happened in a classroom in Utah. It was a bunch of college students who one of their tests was to identify a particular strain of what is it? Is it bacteria? I guess it's bacteria. It was a microbiology identification course, right? So it was supposed to be like a non-harmful, like God, I gotta remember. See, I wasn't prepared to say all of these.
I thought you had everything up. That's
I had
why.
It all up, and then
I thought I was being
got distracted.
I thought I was leading. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Okay,
but
you
it was supposed to
apology?
Be like a part of like shigellosis, basically the thing that causes like shigella, like the food the illness shigella, like it's a type of bacterium.
I don't know.
Okay, well, it just trust me on it. You don't. Need
I got
to, you. Don't need to fight it. It's it's Plasiomonas shigellodes is what they're supposed to be identifying. But then everybody in the class during this test, 100% of the people in the classroom identified a very transmittable strain of meningitis, which causes spinal meningitis. So everybody started freaking out. And so there were like 32 people in the class, and then they all started exhibiting symptoms. Two of them got spinal taps. They got...
Where is this?
Utah.
What?
The lab instructor was kind of like freaking out, but it can cause swelling of the brain.
Yeah, that's
issues in your spinal
crazy.
Cord. I know my dad had it at one point when I was very young. But yeah, it can kill you. So, it was 33 people linked to the lab class had been exposed. So then they have to send it off to the CDC. They have to do all these things. Like, they're trying to do, you know, people are taking vaccines. Everybody's freaking out. They're exhibiting symptoms. And then they get the report back, and guess what? It wasn't meningitis.
Oh, really?
It was just something that looked like it. And it was meningitis. I forgot to look up how to say it. But basically, this form of N. sicca had an isolate that was an atypical carbohydrate fermenter, meaning that it just didn't... They had to actually identify the strain in a different way because it wasn't displaying the way that it should. But I think the thing that's interesting about it, so they go into another part of what happened in the lab, is that there was a strain of that particular meningitis in their cabinet. So it opened up a lot of questions if how they're storing these bacterium, who's labeling it, who's in charge of it, who's being accountable for it. Because like, just think of all these labs that have all these crazy things that like, just even for that to be a potential that people were exposed, is what what everyone was concerned about, right? So they're like, you know, tightening up their lab practices. Nobody wants to be at that. But I am not, I don't really, that part concerns me less. Maybe that's what everybody was concerned about and the whole reason they wrote this report. But it's just so interesting to me that like everyone in the class displayed symptoms.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think it was
zero
like a...
people were exposed?
So it was obviously
there's
like
no
a...
other explanation for it.
Yeah, yeah.
If
yeah.
they're developing symptoms,
they were kayfabing.
They were getting, but like think about
they were
that.
Working themselves.
They're
they
just
were,
so,
they worked themselves into a shoot,
and that's what I just think is so interesting because like. You know, when you have that thing, just like for me, like getting diagnosed with various illnesses and strange things that happen, like it is crazy. Like, let's say, you know, you have a headache and somebody's like, oh, maybe it's brain swelling. And then you start like reading about it and you're like, maybe I could do have brain swelling. You know what I mean? Like whenever there's something weird that's wrong with your body and you can't quite pinpoint it, it is wild how... you can just start running with all the symptoms.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? And I'm sure all these people that were, maybe the first person was like, oh, this is meningitis. Do you have meningitis? And they all do. Then the lab is like, oh my God, did I put the wrong thing out there? Then they go find a vial in the cabinet that is meningitis. And then everybody starts freaking out and then like absolutely convince themselves that they have it.
It's crazy. No,
and they
I mean,
all get a headache.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I feel like it would be a really nice like premise of a B-movie though. Like,
I mean, yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
I was trying to think if there is one.
I know. I was
trying
to think of it too. Just like some outbreak scenario.
But
where,
it's not real.
And then everybody like turns green and they just start like
but then they actually, it's not real, but then they, it actually exhibits, it actually happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all, it's like their mental.
Yeah. Maybe the thing that was in the locker was like, you know, spores from the alien that's in.
Flesh eaters.
Flesh eaters. And then everybody thinks that they have gotten the spores of an alien flesh
maybe this
eating.
Is the third sequel.
And then they all start to like feel that they need to eat flesh. So then everybody in the classroom just starts killing other people and they're all eating flesh and they're going around like all 33 of them are running rampant on the town like killing people, but then it turns out in the end it wasn't that and like the label falls off and it was just nothing.
Yeah I mean look, people can work themselves into a shoot on so many different levels, and I could see that happening, you know. You can really see it happening, especially on a small scale, like a contained, like in a classroom, because everyone's just like feeding off each other and you're like,
and they know that it's highly virulent and they're all reading about it and it's crazy. But I just thought that was a wild story, but I did think that I think it's interesting that everybody had symptoms, and I think it's interesting that it would be a great film.
Hey, I'm in it. Maybe we gotta talk to Warren Dubrow and get maybe this is the long-awaited, you know, sequel from
people
the sequel.
Two people got a spinal tap. Spinal taps are not fun.
I've only ever heard that they are incredibly painful.
Yeah, they have to put a needle between your freaking vertebrae.
That sounds
and insert.
Awful.
They're dangerous because you're putting something into your spinal column and your spinal fluid. You don't mess with that. Anyway, it's wild, wild. You can read more about it in my new favorite magazine.
It is like an online magazine, or is
an issue of Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. It comes out from the CDC.
Oh well,
you can read it anytime you want.
Like,
Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. It's really fun. It's not really fun. It's there's like invasive mold diseases. The other headlines: invasive mold disease on the rise.
Yeah, but look, this is the kind of thing that could. This is the kind of thing
types
that could work
on
everyone
salmonella
into a
infections.
Shoot.
Yeah, don't read the stuff. Yeah, just the fun
you
ones.
You know what? Actually,
you know
Tara,
what? If I see another fun one, I'll send it out to everybody.
Let's let Tara go through and decide what's best, because that's the kind of stuff that gets people will just end up freaking out, and then like if everything's gonna get you sick, everything's gonna infect.
I mean, for years, because I love cheese so much, my bookmark like on my desktop computer was like the every incident of reported foodborne illness from dairy.
Yeah.
And so you could just read the list of every reported incident of foodborne illness from dairy. And it was always very exciting for me to read.
People are always like very, like seem to have food poisoning you know, not understand the actually how it works. Yeah. Like every, you
no,
know,
these are confirmed cases but, of food poisoning.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So like you have the confirmed.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's fascinating. Know. It's fascinating. I'll just say, you don't want to get semi-soft cheese in an anaerobic environment when you have something like Port Salut or those little like Laughing Cow, anything semi-soft.
Oh, so good.
And then you cryovac seal it because it has a lot of moisture. And so that can actually have like listeria. Like I think they can get botulism too. Like you can get really like profoundly ill from cryovac sealed semi-soft cheeses that have been in an anaerobic environment because you have the hard cheeses and they don't have as much stuff for the harmful bacteria to consume, so it's less of a concern. But you get those softies in there, you're fucked.
Look, this is
fascinating,
what
right? I can talk about foodborne illness all day.
Underground espionage for not only talk about shot on video movies, not only talk about classic porn movies, but you're gonna be educated and you're gonna stay safe and alive thanks to Tara's educational news segment.
How to avoid listeria.
Well, I think it's a great lead in to our feature film. But Tara, before we get into the feature film, let's hear the trailer for Flesh Eaters from Outer Space.
It's a starship. The shuttle is returning to Earth. And we had better be prepared.
So you want me to try and capture this creature for you?
Try nothing. I want you to do it.
Look, I know psychic people have the ability sometimes to find missing persons. Do you have this ability?
Flesh Eaters from Outer Space, a.k.a. A Taste for Flesh and Blood, which was the working title and original title, but one of the companies that picked it up for distribution changed the title, mm-hmm. and it's just been known as Flesh Eaters from Outer Space ever since. And
it has a ring to it. I like Flesh Eaters from Outer Space and really tells you what you're getting into. Yeah. I mean, really, I don't think we need to do a synopsis. I just take the S off the end because it's only
one flesh eater. Well, but it was laying plans for many more.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But they did not come to fruition as far as we know.
Well, there is a sequel, Tara. I do think they came to fruition, and we have not seen the
sequel. Oh, they can withstand an atomic blast?
We have not seen the sequel.
I can see that.
And, you know, fingers crossed.
Shit.
We'll be getting a sequel at some point. But really, really excited to talk about this. 1989, New Jersey lensed. And again, New Jersey. There's something in the water for shot on video New Jersey, Wave Films. Not shot on video, shot on 8mm, but Wildwood, New Jersey, one of our favorite movies mm-hmm. we talked about this year. Trauma, you know, so it's who distroed these movies in the 2000s. So there is something to be said about this area that breeds this sort of creativity, this underground creativity. And this movie certainly has a unique feel and look for shot and video, especially in the 80s, 89, because William Dubrow, who is the director, writer, the one-man band, the everything,
yeah.
You know, he really had been working on movies, and he really had technical skill. And in fact, he actually owned a 16mm equipment. Problem was, it was too expensive to...
The film is too expensive. It's cost prohibitive for editing, needing the editing bay,
getting it developed,
like everything.
That's the word I was looking for, Tara.
Develop. Okay, I was trying to help.
You did, Tara.
But I do think that it is apparent that he has technical skill because
yes.
that was what I thought was just like immediately noteworthy about this is that it's very well executed.
Absolutely. And it's again, we talk about the wide range of what shot on video can be, everything from David the Rock Nelson to something like this. And the skill is apparent right away. The pace of it is apparent right away, because sometimes a shot on video, in a way that we do enjoy, in a charming way,
yes,
there can be pacing issues.
Well, and especially because if they're editing in camera, just depending on the way that they're doing the editing, you don't see many fast cuts that we are now used to with film. You know, it'll be a long scene that someone may be hesitant to take out because then they have a runtime problem. You know, this is not the case for this film.
It zips. And it zips by.
And
you
it's
know?
Funny because we started watching this kind of late, and we knew we'd watch it twice. And
we watched it a few times.
And I was like, I kind of want to have the computer nearby and make notes about my first impressions. And you're like, yeah, I don't need to do that. And I was like, you know, sometimes your first impressions are the ones that are hard to remember when you see things over and over again, right?
Yeah, and sometimes our theory is to take the notes on the second watch and do the first watch as a base coat. But Tara, you were like, you know what? I think I want to take notes on the first watch, and then the second watch, just watch it, you know. And hey, you know what, Tara? Whatever moves you, Tara, I want you to do.
But I'm just trying, I'm going back to just remember, like, how when this began, I was really impressed by the... So, you know, we start with a space mission, right? So there's a shuttle. It's going to a spaceship. We have, you know, NASA, the guy at the control tower, who's on the horn with the president at all times.
Who is Warren DeBras' dad,
who's phenomenal.
Definitely one of my favorite parts of the movie.
God, I love him. He's amazing. Perfect casting call. It's great. I like when he's talking on the phone and then forgets to hold the phone up to his ear.
I love his deadpan, but serious delivery. Again, he's a
professional.
This is one of those that is earnest, serious.
Yes.
The fun and part of it just comes from the story and the atmosphere of it being a 50s monster
movie.
The nature
of killing
cool
metal fans.
Yeah, but it's not done.
Yeah, during the course of their life. Yeah.
It is taken seriously, which we always love.
So I think it's brilliant what he does. And I was like, is this collage? Is this stop motion? And taking things and making a collage, like a still collage, and then like the astronaut element the shuttle element, he moves over a still like collage.
It's so good.
It's fantastic the way it's done, but it looks good. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like they're not 3D modeling. They're just literally doing 2D flat, but making it look awesome. So I was immediately like, fuck, that's brilliant. Like, why don't more people do that?
It's so,
you know what I mean? Like, over the screen, just making a fake control panel and then like printing it and cutting it out and then changing what's inside of the screen.
It's so
Duh. Like, that is the best lo-fi way to do it, but it looks it doesn't look shitty. It looks good. It looks kind of like some strange futuristic stylized thing from the 70s, because probably that's the what was being used, you know?
Yeah, no, it looks really good. And yeah, we did watch this movie a few times. We watched the extras, but we actually didn't watch it with commentary. So maybe some of the things we bring up could be answered in the commentary, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point. But it's also fun, I think, sometimes on a podcast to have the speculation, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, so the first thing I write, like, 5 minutes in is that I'm impressed at how good this looks and by the variety of camera angles and the variety of cuts. It has quick cuts, you know, especially for shot on video.
See, exactly.
It has great lighting, amazing collage. The alien costume is so well executed.
It looks great. And
the lighting,
it's great 50s got a great 50s look and feel,
but we
late
know
80s,
he actually,
you know,
designed that. Like, somebody who is a professional designed it. They made it. They could only afford one hand and one foot. So they had one hand, one foot, one tail.
Yeah.
Then the head, which is totally unique. And
yeah, it's strange.
I love
looking.
The orange eyes, you know, as a callback. Like, that, it's fantastic. The lighting, like, especially in dark, because, like, so many times on shot and video, you have things happening at night and you can't see anything. but they're clearly using like a blue light on one side and a soft
yeah, it looks
yellow
great.
On the
I mean,
other.
It's obviously very stylized, but it makes it look, it gives you a great feel of
you
the.
You can fucking see
it. Gives
it.
You a neon yeah. late 80s
yes.
sci-fi alien feel, you know?
No, exactly. Not afraid to use a blue light. Not afraid to use
it
a
looks
red
like,
light.
It looks like it's lighting in our place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, let's be
the
clear.
Dialogue is very natural. So, and 100%. The sound effects are fantastic.
A big part of this, and I'll say the booklet that comes with this is another reason you need to pick up the copy from Saturn's Core. Great thick booklet feature with writing from Warren DeBrow and a couple other great essays from Heather Drain and Vincent. I'll shoot.
I wondered when you were going to say it. Can you
I'm
do
so
it?
I'm so sorry. Albernon. Oh God, I'm the worst pronouncer in the entire world. I'm literally sweating right now, and
so
I hate myself.
Again, it's like,
I hate myself
again,
so much.
Level.
Oh God, I'm the worst pronouncer of all
Alberano.
Time. Thank you. I'm literally sweating right now, and it's so hot in here.
It's
you,
so hot in here.
Me.
My God.
But he's great. He did a book about shot on video movies. So great essays by both of them, Heather Drain as well as Vincent in this, and then an essay from Warren himself. So great information in there and just great thoughts about this movie. And one thing that we watched the movie before reading the booklet, wanted to go in more just like, let's put the movie on and go with it. But everyone pointed something out that I totally caught right away. Tara, like you're saying with the dialogue, there is a naturalness to this and a realism to this. I mean, it's like Wildwood, New Jersey. We're watching real people
yeah.
with real concerns.
Yeah.
People who are arguing about bills. People who are worried about money. Worried about our main character, Sandra, in this, who is a psychic who can help save the world, is worried about not being able to provide for her kid and not be able to make it to work because she can't afford the bills. Like, it has this realism
yeah.
to it that you wouldn't see. I don't know. It's such
like,
a strange.
It's
so cool.
It's very natural and unnatural at the same time. So, for
yeah,
example, like
yeah,
the
yeah,
first
yeah.
couple that comes up, like the guy's walking the chick to the door and he steals her keys and she's like, give me my keys, you asshole. And he's like, no, give me what I want. She's like, you're
yeah.
just mad because you're not getting what you wanted. Like he was trying to bang her.
Yeah.
And she was like, give me my keys. And he's like, well, yeah, life sucks. You know what I mean? Like when you have
yeah.
something you want and somebody's just like, hey, life sucks. Remember when we used to say that to each other?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ow, you hurt my foot. Life sucks.
Life sucks. You know what I mean?
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is the dialogue. He's shitty. She's really annoyed. Like, it's a very realistic feeling scene between these two like young people with feathered hair and tight, potentially acid washed jeans who are about to be devoured by
yeah. And so it has this feel that is it just has that 80s, you know, new, I say Midwest, obviously it's the East Coast, but just that mid, you know, not big city, I guess is the word. Like it just has that like suburban 80s.
Yeah.
You know, again, the malls, you know, the great mall montage, which also brought us to the mall extra on the Wildwood,
oh
New Jersey
God,
set. So you get to one, as we've said many times, what we love about DIY underground movies, shot on video movies, you know, we see it in the Ray Dennis Steckler movies. We see it in so many shot on video movies is that at that day to day life look. About
yeah.
wherever these people are from. This is literally just day-to-day life. And it's Neptune, New Jersey, and I think a few other places in New Jersey.
I love everything
I love
that
it.
Every single person is wearing. And it just made me remember a time when I'm like, how did everybody keep their hair so big? You know what I mean?
A lot of hairspray, baby. Aquanet.
God, I fucking miss Aquanet. Right? It was great. But you really could keep it. Like, it did stay big.
I mean, your hair can get big, babe.
I don't have small hair, I'll tell you that. But
looks good
I mean,
right now.
Like this. Oh, thank you. Like,
I was actually side note. I was you caught me like staring at your hair last night. We were just sitting. We were watching wrestling on the couch. And you go, is something wrong with my hair? I'm like, no. I just was looking at it. I think it looks really good. And you're like, huh.
All
and
right.
I did. Yeah. But I like your
thank
first
you.
Reaction.
Was very
like,
paranoid. What? Yeah. The other fun part about like sitting around a lot with a weird leg is that I've been. making hair pieces. I haven't really been wearing them, but making them is kind of.
But didn't you wear it out the other night? No one knew that it was.
Oh yeah, nobody.
No one ever knows.
No, they haven't. I've been wearing a few. I just don't tell anybody when I do. It's been very, very fun. Yeah. So if anybody needs a hair piece, hit me up. Or you have a secret technique you want to share? Oh, let's go. Hairpiece time. I love making the
hairpiece. Please hit Tara up. She would love to talk to anyone about making hairpieces.
I know. I'm making these like clip-in. You don't even know what the crazy clip-in braids.
What
do you mean? They're
special.
Watch you do
them. They're amazing.
Like, they have carabiner locks. I mean, so you can lock them in.
I don't exactly. Like when I love when you're doing that. You're correct. I don't know exactly what you're doing, but I love watching you do it.
Oh, great. Yeah. I made like this. Like,
you've been doing it?
Like this like. 7 foot long braid. It was really fun. You wrap it around your head for fun. I don't know.
I love it.
Seems worthwhile. Well,
what did we? I can't remember now. That doesn't matter.
What do we? I don't know.
We watched something where it felt like the actress was doing.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember. We've watched
so much stuff.
You've seen my eyes. Have just seen There's, so we many still, wonderful
and we still have
things.
Giant
I
stacks
love
of
it.
Stuff to get to, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, and then like part of the goal too in the beginning was like let's watch a bunch of long movies, and we haven't even done that yet.
We watched a decent amount. We watched Apocalypse Now. We watched Dune.
Yeah, those
we'll
were
get
long.
To them. We'll get to them.
Dune was fun.
Incredible.
I really enjoyed that.
We did watch Dune Day. We did watch. What was the Day of the Rock, the Monster Tales. That was long.
Oh, my God. I gotta watch it again. That was such a fun day.
Yeah.
My God, I needed that day. Well, you know, I also, the thing that I thought was noteworthy, and again, Sandra Lynn.
Kathy Monk's the actress. Incredible.
She's fantastic. One of the things I love is when in the films when they just say somebody's name over and over again, and they
say
Sandra Lynn like 400 times.
Honestly, it helps.
But she did strike me. I don't know why. When I first watched this, I was like, she looks like Tammy Faye Baker, but
she
just
definitely
like a little
Tammy Faye
bit
vibes.
Less mascara.
Yeah,
and makeup, but the mascara on Tammy Faye.
Hey, we're good with that. We like it.
And then it reminded me of something. When I was second grade, it was elementary school. We had a pumpkin contest. And I took one of my mom's blonde wiglets and I put it on a pumpkin and I put eyelashes and gave it beautiful. And I said that it was Tammy Faye Baker, was my pumpkin. And just thinking about my little second grade girl bringing the pumpkin in, and all the kids thought it was Miss Piggy. And since my pumpkin was the most glamorous, I did get a high rank in the pumpkin contest.
As you deserved.
Because my pumpkin was so beautiful and glamorous. My pumpkin had blue eyeshadow and gorgeous eyelashes and pretty pink lips and a little blonde wiglet, but everybody thought it was Miss Piggy and they didn't know that it was Tammy Faye Baker, and I was a little gutted that.
But you love Miss Piggy, so it must be torn. Yeah, you must have been torn.
I was torn. I liked Whitting and I liked Miss Piggy, but it was Tammy Faye Baker pumpkin. And it's funny when parents support you in doing weird little things like that when you're a kid. They're like, sure, fuck it.
Just
Tammy Faye Baker pumpkin.
But Tara, so Sandra in Flesh Eater, she's a psychic, and she is psychically feeling when these murders are taking place. And let me tell you, this movie does not skimp on the murders. It is just wall-to-wall alien murdering people, and it's very gory. So it delivers in the gore. It delivers in the murders. It's not like saving it for the last 10 minutes.
No, it's
build
the whole
up. No,
way
it is,
long. No, you're not waiting for 40 minutes to see an alien. You see an alien in the first five.
In the opening credits, there's a bunch of murders.
Yeah.
Like during the opening credits, the alien is murdering people.
We're
so like,
saying nonstop action. You do not get bored. There's something new happening every time.
And even the points, like it's like we say, when they're walking around the town by the beach, going to the Apple Deli, which, my God,
I
want
to
go to the
Apple
Deli.
Apple Deli.
Those parts are amazing too, because you're looking at the locales and there's no point in this movie where it drives.
But it's fast cuts and it zips and it doesn't let anything. Then again, we love a slog. We love a slow.
Like you said,
burn.
Big time, you know?
Like it when you don't see the alien until the last
sure.
20. You know what I mean? But this is not the case.
We like all types.
Yeah, exactly. So
we go all the ways.
We go all the ways. But it's all,
we're not like
it's
the
all
other
explained.
Girls.
They're like, you know, even in the first minutes, they're like, oh, you know, you know, this alien's an intelligent creature who unfortunately eats flesh and drinks blood. There you go. That's what we've learned. You get on the horn with the president. Hey, we've learned that this alien's an intelligent creature. And the president's like, that sounds good. And the guy's like, no, unfortunately it's not, because he eats flesh and he drinks blood.
Yeah.
Oh, so there you go.
But even down to having Sandra be the, you know, one of the two main protagonists, who then we have Riggs he's the astronaut who then has to go find the alien.
Well, I mean, let's discuss this premise, because we kind of like said the whole thing, basically alien loose, killing people, you know, eating flesh, drinking blood. There you go. That's the title says it all. It's a flesh eater from outer space. Yeah. Just one eater at this point in time. But I forgot where. Oh, this is the plot point that I love.
The human plot point.
The plot point that I love. And that is, you know, if you are, if you work for NASA and you are an astronaut and you're out on the shuttle and you go visit an alien craft, and an alien gets on your shuttle, and then you go into a coma for 21 days because you were bashed in the head from some sort of alien, and then everybody aboard the ship was eaten, and you're the only one who survives, and you get back, they're like, you're fired. And guess what? This alien is now your responsibility. You have to go find it.
Yeah.
And since you're not working for NASA anymore, you don't have any of our protection.
Yeah,
you better
might
watch
arrested.
Out for the cops, because they might arrest you. I'll do what I can, but no fucking promises, because you asshole slept for 21 days while you alienate everybody.
Really, really victim blaming.
Bad
here,
move.
You know what I mean? It's real,
bad
real
move,
victim
kid.
Blame.
And how did they find out what happened, Mike? They used the cool brain scanner, which
I like the brain scanner.
I'm so impressed by the brain scanner. Like,
I don't want that to be invented, but I like it.
No, I don't want a brain scanner. Like, the joy, just one thing that I love is, like, as much as people want to, like, think they know what's going on in my brain.
They can't, and they never
They
will.
Don't fucking know what's going on
I'm
in my
the
brain.
Closest, and I don't know.
No, no, I'm, you know, right.
Like, again, you thought I was thinking your hair looked ugly, and I was thinking it looked great last night.
What's wrong? Hey, you know what I've been thinking about a lot? I'll tell you what I've been thinking about a lot.
Listeners, step up.
No, frog skin, because frogs, like, absorb things through their skin, and, like, you touch them, and then they're breathing in your lotion. And like, there's all these things you could hurt frogs by touching with your hands, and I was feeling guilty that I'm always picking up frogs with my hands, like, as a kid and stuff. I don't know why I'm thinking about frog skin today. It's stupid that I'm thinking about frog skin today, but
wait,
I just keep thinking
about
that.
Have we brought this up?
I've not talked to you. I've not uttered a word about frog skin. I kind of felt like I've been talking
about...
Dude,
when you said that... I got a crazy feeling.
I feel like I've been talking about amphibians too much, and I've just been trying to lay off of it.
I feel like I dreamed about frogs.
Are you kidding?
Yes. When you said that, I got a crazy feeling over me.
All morning, that's what I've been thinking about.
See, look, we're the closest to being able to read, you know.
But, yeah, maybe we were in the same dreamland, and we were wandering around talking about that. But, yeah, that's what I'm thinking about today.
I dreamed you saw Lana Del Rey on a beach and a pool at, like, the same time. It kept switching between the pool and the beach. That was good.
So fun.
That was good. I had some other dreams, too, that
yeah,
I told you
about
it.
So many horny dreams. You're such a perv. I fucking swear. It's crazy. But, yeah, so next week I'm not going to talk about any amphibians. I'm trying so hard. I just can't get them out of my brain right now. And then these aliens
Well, hey, this alien
anyway.
Who basically lives in the ocean while it goes back
well,
to the ocean.
Well, then he goes in the ocean. Okay, so the point was, you know, if you're an astronaut, it's your fucking responsibility. Yeah. You go deal with it. You know what I mean? But you will be given things to help you along the way. Some of the things you're given to help you along the way would be... The Terminator. You're given the Terminator. It's a miniature thermonuclear bomb. So, yeah. I mean, that's a cool thing to just give a guy that you just fired.
That decimates anything within a mile radius,
who just
by the way.
Was
that's
in
pretty...
A,
that's huge.
Who... That, exactly. And you just kind of, like, open the thing and push the middle button and it goes off. So, like, don't, like, dig around in your purse for that one is all I'm saying because shit happens in there. And then, like, that seems like a really big responsibility to
it's
have. A mile radius,
I wouldn't
sir.
Want that.
No, I don't want it. I don't want any part of this Terminator mini thermonuclear bomb. And then... Oh, okay, good. I got distracted for a minute. I said Mr. Riggs is giving bass player in Miami Connection.
He looks like the bass player in Miami Connection.
He really does, but with a more strong chin.
Yeah, he does remind us of the bass
yeah,
player in Miami.
Yeah, he reminds him a lot.
So in some ways, we're like, maybe he...
And then he started fighting, and I was like, do you think he trained with YK?
He went on from bass and decided to go in and become an astronaut. Now he's here. So it's a continuation.
I mean, he's pretty, pretty, pretty badass. And then he was also given a tracking device. That's like a pen with some like LED lights on it, so that he could track the alien. I don't know how it tracks the alien. We don't need to know. You know what? We don't know how to make a mini thermonuclear bomb that you carry around in your pocket.
Some questions
either.
Are better remain
size of
answered.
Like a small compact. So we don't need to know any of this stuff. It's over our heads. We're not NASA.
We aren't
astronauts in any way. What the fuck do you know about NASA?
What the fuck?
It's my favorite thing. Okay, so. He's badass. That's all we need to know. He's hot stuff. He's badass. He's got denim and boots.
He wears an army jacket.
He was in Dragon's Den. He wears Ray-Bans. Actually, but you know, he kind of has the outfit more of the guy who's fighting against Dragon Sound.
Well, maybe he got it after the brother.
Yeah, when he killed the brother, he went and got the brother's Ray-Bans and cool jacket and like tied a bandana around his ankle and called it a day. You know what I'm talking about? But it's also kind of a Bruce Springsteen look, I imagine, would be popular in that area at the time, I would imagine. So, we have David Riggs meeting Sandra Lynn.
So Sandra Lynn being the psychic and having psychic abilities connected with the murders happening. Again, I think it's such a strange, unique plot line and strange, unique protagonist. Like this ex-astronaut who has to find the alien and then a psychic. Like, it's just like, whoa. And then she's reluctant. Because she doesn't want it to ruin her life. She's got to provide for her kid.
Well, Mike, at the time, I was like, why is this psychic so reluctant? And I said it out loud.
Yeah,
like,
we both said it out loud.
Look, sometimes I can stop myself from having these out loud thoughts, but I couldn't that time. I was like, why won't you help
but you know what?
Mr. Riggs?
We found out because she's had a very, very strange life. She was in a cult. She's had these psychic feelings since she was like six. And she even talks about it a lot. And again, it gives this crazy humanity to it.
Really,
where she's like,
flesh out the character.
It basically like has like ruined her life, which I understand. Yeah. Like, it's like, if you are constantly having these visions, she's like, I'm sick of seeing all this murder. Like, what? And I'm just trying to live my life, raise my kid. At one point, she's, you know, mankind can rot in hell, you know?
Yeah. Like, and then she's just like trying to like make it by working at
a blind store.
Or
some shithole boss.
And again, it's called Blind Design, but it only has one D. So it's Blind Design or Blind.
It took us a few seconds
design.
To decide how we'd say it.
E-sign, Blind E-sign. It says a lot of different ways to say it, but. Yeah, and just like some shithead boss who's always trying to like rubberneck and like tell her he can help her out. And eventually he ends up brutally raping her.
Yeah, while
her home.
Kid dies.
Yeah, he's actually responsible for her child's death because she couldn't go pick up her kid after school because he was brutally raping her.
That's what I'm
her.
Saying. There is a
strange. Because he gave her $100.
There is a strange darkness and bleakness to this movie that you would not expect.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes this a real standout.
No, I agree, and it's very, it's not confusing, I would say.
No, and
it's very straightforward, and it's like, this is the psychic, this is the astronaut, this is the killer alien, these are the teen fodder who are gonna like have fun, bang. Go try to have sex and then get eaten. Or I like when the guy bends over and has his spine ripped out by the alien.
Yeah, that's
I think
that's like one of the first kills. One of the first kills. Once
that's the guy who stole her keys. I think.
Yeah. So let's talk about the fodder for murder, because I think that's also another big point of this movie and what makes this movie so fun and put you in this great frame of mind. And that being the late 80s hair metal mall. Feel and look and scenes of this movie.
And when they're all going to a concert, we really tried to get the name of this fantastic band because it's great.
So we did. We even reached out to Ross himself, and he didn't have the info. He had the same thought that we had, because in the credits, it shouts out Wild Side.
Yes, with a Y.
Side with the Y. And he's like, I originally had always thought that was the name of the band.
So did we.
But as research was found and is in the booklet, like I said, we watched the movie before reading the booklet. So once you open the booklet, you will see that Wildside is in fact a rock metal clothing store in the mall. Oh my God, why don't we live in
1989? I know I
want
to go to Wildside. And then I thought it was Lacey Page. I thought that would be a good. But that might be an actress.
Yeah, but.
I'm hoping it's Lacey Page.
I was thinking that too.
Because Lacey Page got things.
Because it brought me to like Brittany Fox. Like,
I know.
Like the hair metal names, which I believe. Brittany Fox in New Jersey as well.
Yeah.
brought me to the hair metal names of like with that are like women's names. Even like obviously Lizzie Borden is Borden is, but it still is like a woman's name as a band, you know, Brittany Fox. So I was thinking that. I don't know. So please, anybody listening, if you have that information,
if you know a band, please let us know.
Please,
because we loved them.
This is the most detailed credits out of any movie I think I've ever seen.
Many.
And I feel like it didn't say who the band was.
I agree. We couldn't figure it out. We tried.
But the mall scenes are amazing.
Some mall scenes are amazing. And then two friends, like her mom won't let her go spend the night because there's a killer on the loose. And did we mention another subplot? So this part was confusing. I said the plot wasn't confusing, but this part was confusing.
I wasn't going to disagree with you. I was going to wait for us to get to this part because it is one part that is like comes sort of out of nowhere.
I gotta figure it out though, Mike.
Okay.
And
I like
agree.
The killer's name, by the way.
I do too. And I gotta figure it out. On the second, I really nailed it down today, like what was going on. So the cops, just like they were capturing Mr. Riggs, giving him a hard time the whole time he escapes, you know, you know the drill, everybody. We know. We need our hero to be free and not behind bars. So the reason that they're suspicious of this alien theory is because simultaneous to the alien being out on the loose
okay,
and killing people
and
all their people are found with their heads cut off. Cause they kept saying Well, they said where people were found with their heads cut off and people were found mutilated. So simultaneous to the alien, there's a guy named Chop Chop.
Savino Fink, something like that.
Yeah, out on the loose. Let's see if I wrote it. Yeah, Savino Fink. So he's around too. So Savino Fink has been on the loose. So a mom's reluctant, but she was like, we got a murderer out here. You can't go anywhere.
So there had already been
a serial killer loose.
Got it.
Chopping people's heads off. At the same time that this alien is at large, so it's really muddying the waters. So
that's why the parents don't want the kid to go out. The mom doesn't want her kid to go out.
Yeah, nobody knew it was an alien. They thought that this Savino Fink was Chop Chop, a.k.a. Chop Chop, was just dismembering people. So when she sneaks out anyway, goes to her friend's house, helps her friend pick out her panties, we get to admire a great, like, Eat 'em and Smile tear out.
Yeah, I
from
think
a
that's
magazine.
Actually a different, that I believe that is different ladies. Because,
do you think so?
Yeah, it is, because she gets killed. Because I was going with that scene being my favorite scene is when the two chicks are in the bedroom getting ready for a night out. And yeah, you get a David Lee Roth Eat 'em and Smile post. You get a bunch of great hair metal posters.
They aren't all posted. But it reminded me of when you would get the magazine.
Magazine, that's what it seems like.
And you
like.
Rip the page out because they're all small.
I bet they're from Rip Magazine. Yes. And it's just those small pictures. They look amazing. The chick getting ready, she puts on her leopard print panties, thumbs up.
She's like, just in case. She's going to meet her ex-boyfriend. She's no interest in it. Those panties did look better. And then that's when... the other gal says, and it was right after the other lady snuck out.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't
think
know.
It's her. Like,
no, I think because the one chick was blonde.
Need to go over the like? Is it that and like important?
No, we can just say it.
It might be.
Yeah, I apologize.
It's like a 50-50 shot.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put the odds at 50-50.
Oh, let's put
because you say one thing and I say the other. So
let's throw it out. Let's throw it out this way. There is an insane amount of people in this movie.
There's like, so many people. That's why the credits are so long.
People in the movie ever that's ever been in a movie.
Counted all the kills. I would say there's at least 10.
Oh wait, I would say there's probably closer to 20 especially if you count the opening credits when they just.
I mean closer to 20 if you count.
Maybe
the opening.
Even more.
We had a small battalion.
We might be talking Randy Kraft level, getting up into the 40s.
Mike's got Randy Kraft.
I've been reading Angel of Darkness, one of the best true crime books of all time, on Randy Kraft.
I feel like I would be scared.
No, you're more or less fine. I'm the one who is.
You
trouble.
Should be scared. Okay,
you're fine.
It's like a
actually, he's got zero interest in you.
Perfect. Well,
yeah, you're good
maybe
to go.
I should read it. Are you scared?
You're good to
Do you
go.
Need?
I won't be hitchhiking anytime
escort
soon.
Escort you to your
you
hitchhiking
and I
destination.
Don't hitchhike. We just pick up hitchhikers.
Oh yeah, I can't hitchhike because I can't get into a car by myself. Fun fact.
Fun fact.
Well, but I do like it when the gals are sitting around and then
I
she
love
just
this scene.
Says, "Oh, all guys think through their doinkies."
Yeah, that is insane.
Bringing me back to the word doinkies, I had not thought of that, and so very.
Yeah, I mean,
very
not
wrong.
A fan of that word, but I like it in the context of like what, like just the head scratching.
You start referring to your donkey.
I just got
so
angry.
Yeah. Rip the spine out of your back.
Rip the fucking spine.
Just want to smash your head with a big hammer, like a cartoonishly large hammer that's so oversized that it squishes it like an ant.
Yep.
Is that what you want to do when I say donkeys?
Oh my god.
Yeah. That's really funny. Well, I don't say that, so I didn't even remember that it exists. But
no, it is great.
I'll
it is great in the context of the movie. I obviously do love it.
Yeah, but then we do see a guy who's peeing on a tree get his dick ripped off. So.
That's after the show, the after party at a house, which looks great. They're watching porn. They're drinking beer. Yeah, he gets his.
I know, and they're watching the porn.
And he gets his
everybody's just like sitting around the house, and I thought, Mike, that it was supposed to be backstage at the concert. Because
it's right after the concert. Yeah, which again. Let us know who this band is. You know, it's 89.
It looked really fun.
Hair metal, but it's like when hair metal sort of went, you know, GNR's Appetite's already been out for a few years, so it's more like it's less spandex, a little more leather, but still the hair metal sound and vibe. So it's like it's less Poison, it's more GNR. You know, New Jersey was, you know,
it's a little darker. We're getting some more Chains, into the mix, but you know, hey,
I did get word
time.
That there's another hair metal band in the sequel as well, so.
Oh, God, I need to see this sequel. Well, you know what? We have time to see
hopefully
this sequel.
We,
how are we going to see it? So that's when we get Sabino Fink. Again, sure, did we all get a little confused? By we all, I just mean the two of us. Did we get a little confused about Chop Chop? Yeah, but we figured it out when Chop Chop is hitchhiking on the road and this guy's like, hey, pull over, pick him up.
It's John Belushi.
You got to pick him up. I love this guy. SNL. And he's like, John Belushi's dead. And he was like, no, he's like Elvis. He just wanted to live a normal life. He got too famous. Pick him up. John Belushi, I love you. Who's that guy? Dan who? And the guy's like, Aykroyd. Yeah. But the scene with Chop Chop, I thought was fantastic. But again, Mike, like you have said before, this edge charm, right? He's punching up the script. We get to have an actual, like, psychotic murderer who's killing people with an axe in tandem with a flesh and blood eating alien to really kind of add to the mayhem of what exactly is happening and really show you why people aren't like, who the hell is killing everybody? Why aren't the police going after this alien? They aren't because NASA didn't notify them, and they're dealing with this axe murderer.
Dude, when the alien kills the police, that's pretty. They just gets those heads off, just tears them to pieces.
Tears them right out, leaves the cop car in the middle of the road.
And
it was a
real
police real car.
Cop car. They said they got cooperation with the police. They said they had a great time. The cops are actual cops.
That's great. They seem like it.
And he said they had a great time doing it. Again, this is the charm of DIY shot on video. Just getting people together to make a movie. No one's making money. No one's getting paid. You're driven to make a movie.
And having fun.
And having a good time.
But this does have a really warped sense of time. Like, I was like, is this supposed to be over the course of a month or a course of a week? Is it supposed to be a few days?
Yeah, warped sense. Definitely warped
really
sense of time.
I don't really understand that.
Even on the second watch.
I don't really have a concept of how long this is supposed to be.
Yeah. But we get into this sort of leading up to the final confrontation. Again, it takes a very serious tone because Sandra's kid's been murdered. She keeps talking about why she doesn't want to do this. She doesn't want this murder in her mind. She can't see death anymore. Her kid's murdered. She goes a graveyard and attempts suicide. And it's again, it's taken very seriously. It's not it's not goofy. It's taken very seriously. She slits her wrist.
She says she has no reason to live.
She says
she might as well be dead already.
She's like, I'm not afraid of dying. Like, it's very serious, you know?
Yeah.
And Riggs has to convince her, like, look, we got to take this alien out. Or there's going to be more death for everybody. And so,
and you saying that, I think that this does the thing where it knows when to be serious and knows when to joke.
Yeah.
Like it knows when, like the jokes are dark. Not going to say they're not dark. But it does like play something like that seriously instead of playing it off like a goof.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that is notable and what makes it cohesive. And sometimes if something shot on video, low budget, like any nature, takes everything with the same amount of flippancy, it's less effective
yeah.
and less, or just you know.
Well, just depends.
We're not in the campy. It's a different vibe.
We can get into that zone. It's what we take each movie about on its own terms.
Yeah.
So how it presents itself to us is how we take it. So yeah. I do like campy fun, but also do like seriousness. Like I said, I think one of the a movie that on its surface seems almost campy fun that I've always thought was like deadly serious and that affects me emotionally is Splatter Farm. Like I think that is like that movie always like hits me in this like way that maybe on the surface it doesn't feel that it would. This has, again...
You were going to say Miami Connection because, dude, so many people die in that movie.
Yeah.
So many... A family is devastated.
But Miami Connection is now that's more... The Miami Connection, on the other hand, is more fun in a campy way. But even though it's taken seriously and treats the movie seriously,
then it gets dark at the end.
Yeah, but you have a good... So again, each movie on its own terms, as opposed to like, this is the kind of movie you like and then it doesn't fit into what I like about a movie, I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this one... Again, the on its own terms is taking this whole thing seriously. The fun and the campiness comes from it's a 50s alien monster movie, but done in the late 80s.
Yeah.
In a great way. And then you take this Sandra, this tormented character, and again, Riggs, you know, like you said, he worked her ass and did all this. He's the one who got screwed, and then he's getting screwed again by having to go find this alien. He gets beaten up by like the heavies, you know, like it's but again, he's still so focused on getting this alien and saving the planet, he needs to convince Sandra to do the same. Even though she says mankind can rot in hell, he's like, look, I hear you, but he got fucked over too. But it's like, you know, we got to do this. We're the only two people in the world who can do this.
And they walk hand in hand down the seashore in a stunning scene. And she points out into the water and says, it's out there.
How great is this final section? It's
it's
so great. So they go into the...
He takes his jacket off, and then they both... And she stays fully clothed, and they just walk into the water and then dive underwater, and they end up in an underground cave.
In an underground cave where you don't have to hold your breath. It's just somehow there's water in this cave.
She knows. I mean, she's
amazing.
Fucking psychic. She
and
knows,
this is
and
where
that's how the creature knew.
The creature has been living. And Tara, what do they find?
A whole bunch of eggs.
And as you said,
presumably eggs. I don't know.
As you said, Terry's like, it's like contamination.
It is like contamination.
Totally. Like,
I mean, I guess, and true, it could have been a bunch of jizz. We just don't know what aliens do with that type of thing. Like, who knows? Like, I don't know what comes out of that alien.
I would only go with eggs, but could that's be amazing. That's amazing. God, I love you. I love you more every day.
Thank you. I'm not going to be presumptuous
about
what comes out of an alien.
I am
going
to misery your ass and just hobble you so you can never leave.
Oh, no, you don't need to. I'm rickety.
Okay.
I'm already rickety.
Final confrontation. They're confronting the alien. And lo and behold, Riggs gets straight up murdered.
Yeah, just straight up alien comes up, murders them. Didn't see that coming.
Sandra, close to murder, but...
She gets her throat slit. By the alien's claws.
Before she goes into the other side, she sees the Terminator thing, which Riggs had explained that he has this.
Mm-hmm.
Reaches out.
She's psychic. He doesn't have to explain it.
Hits it. Explosion. Great sound, which actually you heard at the end of the trailer is the explosion. Just a kind of just a great little quick noise piece. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Really good.
And then that's it. Credits roll. Perfect. Like
great.
Perfect end.
So dark.
Yeah, this is like...
Our two heroes die.
Yeah. And who knows who else died from that explosion.
Yeah, mile radius. I guess all the teens that were left over did, too.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Maybe the band
Chrissy
died.
Would never have made it in the first place.
The band died, and so maybe that's why
we never find out. No fucking clue. Yeah, it's wild. I don't know what you just knocked over, but that was a pillow. Okay, well, that's fine. But, fantastic film. Really engaging. Really well done.
Love it. Love it.
It's one of those where you're like, wow, good job.
I mean, seriously, and an absolute standout of this year's Saturn Core titles, which have been so many great ones this year, and so many more coming. You know, we've got so many more coming. We have four more coming once a month. So we have, Love is a Stranger. Love is a Stranger again, the newest one for August.
But it's
standout for Saturn's Core this year.
And over the top in so many ways.
Yeah, over the top, fun, gory. Like I said, we didn't really emphasize like how, because I think the story's so great, and we just like the the look and the feel.
Yeah, you get a lot of gloopy blood.
You get some gloopy
decapitations and gloopy blood.
Spines, mm-hmm. guts. Yeah. It's a splatter. It's a splatter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think the booklet's called A Savage Orgy of Splatter and Lust. Perfect.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, can't
and you get like the nostalgia factor from like the 80s, bathrooms yeah. of the 80s,
the
like
shower,
like,
you were,
oh
the shower
my god,
curtains.
I was dying over the matching, like the shower curtain, a floral pink tile bathroom, floral outer shower curtain.
Yeah.
Then you have a window in the shower, so you have to put a curtain on that over the window in the shower. Yeah. But then that matches too. But then when you're taking a shower, you have to put the shampoo bottle on the curtain to hold the curtain shut. Like, that shit took me back. I was like, yes, I forgot about that. Damn it.
Totally.
And then having those little towels that were like color, but then like they had like little seashells like right down the middle, like those decorative yep. like shaved like cut towels that had like a texture, I don't remember what, embossed towels, I don't know what they would be called, all of that, you're just like, god, I fucking forgot about that.
Yeah, the charm mm-hmm. of DIY shot on video yep. underground movies.
Sick.
Everything so on good. Display in Flesh Eaters from Outer Space. Pick it up.
Great summer movie.
It is, again, great summer vibe, great summer movie. You know, we're still kicking summer. We're not doing that back to school nonsense. We're in August.
Too
it's
early.
Still
How
summer.
Are they back to school?
It's still summer here. Fuck, we're not
going back to school.
Hell no. We're gonna keep summer alive, and this is a fun summer watch. Well, as always, we say support Saturn's Core, of course. It's, you know, our favorite, and, you know, we love all the work that Ross has done and William Hellfire. They always put together the great extras, and look, did it again.
Looks fantastic.
Knocked
oh, my God, look at that
out
creature.
Of the park again. All right, well, not sure what we'll be back with next week. We'll just see. We'll see what this week holds for us. We'll see. Who knows how mobile Terra is? We do have an idea for an on-location episode, but we'll see if something we can pull off. We'll see what happens. We'll see.
Stuff me into a car happens. And get me there.
All right. Well, thank you all for the support here, and we will be back talking to you soon.
Thank you.